Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Dan Lynch joins me. We're going to be talking about Sway, a tiling window manager for your Linux desktops. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Dan Lynch. Episode 501, recorded October 10th, 2018. Sway. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by DigitalOcean, the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications. Over 150,000 businesses rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, little projects, projects you may be using every day and totally unaware of it, projects you might want to download and play with right after this show. I think today might be one of those. Joining me once again is my lovely and talented co-host, Dan Lynch. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randall, it's good to be back.
And where are you speaking to us from?
My usual location of my secret studio bunker, which actually isn't a bunker because you can see the window behind me. But anyway, in Liverpool, near Liverpool in the UK, in the northwest of the UK, actually.
And I am once again coming, as you can probably tell if you're watching the video, I'm coming from the kitchen set, as I like to call it, in my Tijuana apartment. There's still magnets left on there from like 3 or 4 years ago when my friend split up with his then fiance, who's the reason he had this apartment here. But I get to enjoy this apartment about 1 week a month to hang out. And I've got travel on both sides of this. I was just up in Santa Monica working with ZipRecruiter there. And I'll be heading off to Fort Lauderdale, whatever's left of it after the storm came through. I think it came up from the bottom, so I don't think it actually hurt from the side, but I did see some storm stuff going on. And then I'm heading off to Raleigh, North Carolina, but that'll be coming up soon. That'll be there at All Things Open. So I'm basically just kind of being a nice 4 week, big long trip. Hopefully the next couple trips will be a little smaller again. So anyway, today we have a topic that I know almost nothing about and don't relate to very well, but I will read the things I've been told to say. And that we're going to be talking about the Sway. It's a tiling Wayland compositor and a drop-in replacement for the i3 window manager for X11. And it works with your existing i3 configuration and supports most of i3's features plus a few extras. My guest today is going to be, I guess, the chief honcho for Sway. I'll probably get into more about that when we bring him on. Is Drew DeVault, also known as, I forgot to ask how to pronounce it, Sir Compons? Compone? Sure, some CMPWN. There's not enough vowels in there. I have no idea how to pronounce that. Anyway, but we'll be bringing him on in a few minutes. Dan, explain this to me. What is this about?
Yeah, well, we had some discussion before about whether this was to do with Weyland-Yutani and building better worlds and all that, which is an interesting way to look at it. Weyland is so are you familiar with X11?
I am familiar with X11. I was using X terms to go back to really date myself, you know, the stupid dumb terminal that would talk to Sunboxes, I think it was. We had all these X11 boxes sitting there. We also had some smart software on some of the smarter machines that would still provide X11. I think some of them were using DisplayPost script too, but that again dates me way back when. But yes, this is back in the 90s, back in the early days of Perl for me. So that was one of my jobs at that point. It was for 3 or 4 years for a big company that starts with I. Yeah,
you've kind of hit almost on the reason for one of the reasons. I mean, I'm sure Drew will tell us more, and I may even be wrong. But from my understanding and my kind of history of using Linux on the desktop for about 15 years full time. I seem to remember that the reason Wayland was originally kind of proposed or whatever or conceived is that Xorg and X11 and so on were horrifically old and out of date and not really up to the modern standards of graphics cards and displays and the things that we expect and all the rest of it. So I think that was the reason behind it. So I've actually done a bit of research, and I'm just going to point out, I'm not reading this. I know all this off by heart. Wayland's, this is the definition. Anyway, it's a computer protocol, which basically defines a way for the display server and its clients. So in this case, Wayland is replacing Xorg, which was the old display server, and then the apps or whatever it is are the clients. and or the window manager or whatever else it could be. There's a reference implementation of the protocol in C, and there's some other things. And the Wayland compositor is the thing that kind of replaces something like Compiz, people might know of if they're Linux people, which was an old 3D accelerated, compositor. Excuse me while I just cough up there. This is something that I'd be interested to sort of dream about, actually. So Wayland, for me, has always felt like it's not quite been adopted properly yet or fully. Mm-hmm. A lot of the big distributions, desktop distributions, that is, have not really gone to it. Ubuntu went to it in 17-0-something and then went back in 18-04, which was until recently the most current version of the Ubuntu desktop and all that. I'd like to hear a bit more about that, I suppose. But yeah, this is an incredibly long answer, which, to be honest, Drew should probably give rather than me take all of his time. But but yeah, it's when we don't have time for the guest and we just have to hang up. It's replaced Xorg. If you know what Xorg was, then you're good. If you don't, then it's basically a way for the display. It's a display server which helps to render your stuff to the screen, and the things that need to be rendered are the clients, and that's about as much as I can put it into an eggshell, if you like.
One of the things that really confused me about when I was learning about X at the beginning was the inversion of the term server and client. You would think that the client would be the thing that's on your screen, talking to some server where all the processes are running that then can draw at various places on the screen. But somehow they decided to call the thing that actually draws the pixels on your screen the server. And I guess it's because the clients could be running anywhere. They don't have to be running just on one machine out there in the cloud. They can be running on multiple machines. Mm-hmm. But you only have one server. So, unless you use VNC or whatever that other thing is, or you can build virtual network clients.
Spice. And stuff like that. Spice, there's a thing called Spice is what I use. Often.
Okay, it's probably a lot of things out there like that. Yeah, this is a very old protocol. It's funny that they sort of stopped at 11. It's like, what happened to 1 through 10? You know, it was like a flash in the pad probably, and then 11 was sort of the one everybody stuck with.
But it goes all the way to 11. Why would it need to go any further? All the way up to 11.
True.
Why would they need to go any further?
Oh, my God. That brings back all sorts of memories. Stonehenge. I love that song in there just because of the comic company name. So, yes. Anyway, we're speaking about Spinal Tap for those of you that are too either old or young to know the movie. So, one of the two. It was a great movie, great rockumentary, a fake documentary, whatever they call it. Okay, that's enough chatting on that. We're going to bring Drew on in just a couple minutes because we want him to tell us how wrong we got all this. So, that'll be a good thing to do. But before we do that, let me a little swig here because your throat communicated to mine too. So, excuse me. Okay.
Oh, right.
Before we bring Drew on, we do have a very important message because this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean provides the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications with droplets, virtual machines that are a scalable compute platform with add-on storage, security, and monitoring capabilities. You can choose from the standard or CPU-optimized droplets and customize from there. DigitalOcean is designed for developers. The easy-to-use control panel and API lets developers spend more time coding and less time managing their infrastructure. Industry-leading price to performance. Access the compute resources you need at the lowest rates, saving up to 55% compared to other cloud providers. And you'll always know what you pay per month with a flat pricing structure across all data center regions. Included at no additional cost. 99.99% uptime SLA, cloud firewalls, monitoring and alerting, full DNS management, global data centers, enterprise SSDs, easy-to-use API. Over 150,000 businesses, including Stonehenge, by the way, including some of the world's fastest-growing startups, rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. That's do.co/twit for a free $100 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support of Floss Weekly. Let's go ahead and bring Drew on to the show here. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And where are you speaking to us from?
Philadelphia, East Coast, United States.
Ah, yes. I've been there many times. The City of Brotherly Love or something like that, I think is their official motto.
Exactly
that's where the Liberty Bell is, right?
That's right.
Cool. See, I do know. I've been out there for a bit. Long time. It's been a while. Well, that's enough about us. Let's talk about what we came here to talk about. So give us a 30,000-foot view. What is Sway, and when would I reach for it? What problem am I solving?
Well, Sway is a power user tool. So it's designed for users of the old X11 window manager i3, which is called a sort of tiling window manager. So on window managers that you might be used to, your windows are what we call stacking. So any window that shows up could be moved freely and stacked above any other windows and so on. And you're sort of manually manage where your windows are placed on screen. But with a window manager like Sway, it does that for you. So if you open a window, it just takes up the full screen. And if you open another window, it halves it and then splits it in two. And so you can use that to use your screen real estate more efficiently and also to drive it with a keyboard.
So how did this project get started?
Well, I was an i3 user for a long time, and I wanted to play with Wayland. And kind of my shtick in open source is to rip other people off. And so I did that again with Sway by building something which was backwards compatible with i3 so that I could play with Wayland, but that my workflow that I got used to using on i3 would not have to change.
And is it using then the i3 configuration files?
Yes, it reads the configuration files that i3 is used with. It supports something like 97% of i3 features.
And I'm familiar with older X11 window managers that I could program. I think one I could program in Lisp or something to move things around, and another I could program in some other languages. But it's sort of like you want some smarts in those configuration files, right? Because you want to have rules that you could basically act upon under certain conditions, right?
Well, different window managers behave differently. So one window manager, for example, or one Wayland compositor that I work on through the WRIS project is called Waymonad, made by my friend Onji. And Waymonad is configured in Haskell. And so you can get very flexible with that. But Sway is a little bit more moderate. So Sway provides, for example, different layouts for how to arrange things on your screen out of the box. And the configuration file lets you customize a whole lot of the functionality, but you're not actually writing code. That being said, Sway has inter-process communication. There's a Unix socket you can talk to, which is compatible with the i3 IPC protocol. And you can write scripts that let you extend it to be even more powerful.
So you can make it Turing complete then?
Well, you can use the Turing complete programming language to control Sway.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as I can eventually get my Towers of Hanoi on there somewhere, that's probably all I really care about.
Very
that.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah. Good. So, how is Wayland taking over X11 in general?
I would say very slowly. Yes. the thing is that a lot of X11 has a lot of momentum, and there are a lot of hacks and cool things that you can do on top of X11. And because Wayland is starting from scratch, a lot of those things don't come for free. So some people are switching to use Wayland as their daily driver, but other people have things which are holding them back, like certain softwares that they're used to, which have no equivalent on Wayland yet. So I think Sway or Wayland will only take over once all of those use cases are fulfilled.
So it's a little bit like some of the, as you say, yeah, it's this whole problem of people don't like it because it's a bit, well, I was going to say people don't like it because it's too new. But actually, I've got to admit, the reason why I sniggered a little bit when you said it's taken over slowly is it was released 10 years ago. It was, you know, originally come up with 10 years ago. And I know things move slowly often in the free and open source software world, and we don't get up to version 1.0 for 25 years or something on certain things. But it seems like – so I also – there is a question coming at the end of this. Also, I don't want you to think I'm blaming you here, Drew, because I know you're not necessarily – you know, the one person who came up with it or who is in charge of it or anything. It's just an interesting discussion topic, really. So what do you think is holding it back apart? Is it just that it's too new or people don't like it, or are there any technical differences that are causing problems? Because I think Ubuntu, for example, didn't like some of the features that aren't there, like desktop sharing. Is that an issue for you guys?
Well, it's a complex issue, and one of the issues at the heart of my work on Wayland. So I might not be the guy who's calling all the shots and the reason that Wayland has taken 10 years, but I do a lot of work to try and address those specific issues. I would say, so to clarify, 10 years ago, the Wayland protocol was released and standardized. And the Wayland protocol is an abstract means of communicating about Wayland features, but it's not an implementation of Wayland features. It's just the protocol. And so in the time since, it's taken time for all the different desktops like GNOME and KDE and desktops like Sway and the other ones associated with WLroots to build fully featured compositors. So the Wayland protocol is maybe a couple hundred lines of XML, but Sway is something like 80,000 lines of C. So the complexity, it just takes a long time to usurp X11.
And also, there's been a bit of trouble with, I mean, I mentioned Ubuntu there, and again, I'm not demonizing them in any way, but they've been a bit kind of flip-flop on this. They were going to do their own thing that they were calling Mia, and then that kind of went away, and now they've jumped in and they've gone, we're going to put it on the desktop, and they went for that in 17, whatever it was, edition. And then they've jumped back out because they're saying they're not happy with certain things. So is that a problem as well, that some people, like big desktop, so Ubuntu, I don't know the split nowadays, but Ubuntu's got to be fairly big in the lion's share of Linux desktop users and not server users. Is it an issue that they won't commit, or they won't, you know, just bite the bullet and get on with it? Because I would imagine a lot of people, if they loaded up Ubuntu and it was using Wayland, would just get on with it, or they wouldn't even know necessarily.
Well, my concern personally is not with getting everybody on Wayland. My concern is with making Sway as good as possible. And so a lot of Ubuntu's users are not necessarily in the target audience for Sway. That being said, I could give you some insight into what's going on with Ubuntu. So there have been some conflicts over the Wayland protocol's design with people who have different opinions about how it should come about. And the Ubuntu project had some concerns, which they felt weren't being addressed. And so they started to work on Mir instead, as I understand. I've never worked at Canonical, but this is my secondhand knowledge of what happened. And then everybody else continued to work on Wayland, notably GNOME. And Mir never really took off, but over the past few years, it's become clear that Wayland is the winner over Mir, and Ubuntu has kind of realized this. So for their default desktop, they switched to GNOME, and the Mir project is still around, but they've kind of changed gears into, instead of being a custom protocol, but into being another Wayland compositor, or the basis with which more Wayland compositors can be built. We actually work with the Mir project somewhat closely through the WLroots project because we have similar goals. And one of our core principles is the forwardance of standard protocols, which are interoperable across the desktop. So as the WLroots project maintainer, it's my responsibility to communicate with projects like Mir and the rest of the Wayland ecosystem to try and get everybody on the same page.
And you mentioned as well there that you know, the WLroots stuff, which would be interesting to get into in a second. And one thing I meant to highlight for people, which I'm sure a lot of people know this, but if the issue is that they're missing things from X11, there is compatibility, isn't it? You can run X11 stuff on top of Wayland, and is that emulated? How does that work?
Well, there's a piece of software called XWayland, which every Wayland compositor I know of that's targeted for Linux desktops will be running. And XWayland is a derivative of the XORG server, and it is itself an X11 server. And how it works is kind of like a proxy. So X11 clients can connect to XWayland and speak the X11 protocol, and then XWayland will connect to the Wayland compositor and open Wayland windows. And this works for a large variety of applications like web browsers and all sorts of other things. But there are some applications which rely on some X11 extensions, like XRander, for example. You can run XRander against XWayland, and it will show you some information about your displays, but it's somewhat opaque because the ability to configure your displays, like to change their resolution, is a privilege reserved by the Wayland compositor. So X-Wayland is not actually able to act upon X-Render's requests. And so software like that, which kind of starts to touch parts of Wayland, which are privileges reserved by the compositor for the purposes of security, is where X-Wayland starts to fall flat.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if there's, well, my secret whispering in the ear there from the back channel was, we're just wondering if there's a big performance hit for that then, I'm imagining, or, you know, on using that
method.
It's
not awful. You can use most X-Wayland applications with a pretty good level of performance. It's comparable to using an X11 desktop with an X11 compositor, but the performance hit is trivial.
That's good. That's good to know. So what is WL Roots then? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. Well, when I started Sway, I just wanted to start working on the features which made Sway unique, and less so on the features which are necessary to build a Wayland compositor. Because when you're making an X11 window manager, you have the XORG server software there handling like driver interactions and ownership over the screens and rendering windows and dealing with input. All that stuff is handled for you by XORG. But that's not the case on Wayland. The X11 display server, like XORG server, and the X11 window manager are discrete, but on Wayland, that's the same piece of software. And when I first started on Sway, I wasn't really interested in doing this half. I just wanted to work on the Sway features, which were comparable to i3. And so to that end, I used a library called WLC, which provided a lot of the other camp of features for me. And that was great. It allowed me to make Sway very quickly and to focus on what made Sway unique. But at some point, it became obvious that WLC wasn't really going to cut it anymore. So it had a lot of limitations. The way I describe WLC is a Wayland compositor with a plugin API rather than a toolkit for building Wayland compositors. And so a lot of the things that we wanted to do with Sway, a lot of the problems we had with Sway, a lot of the things that our users were complaining about that we couldn't fix were due to WLC. And I'm actually today became the maintainer of WLC, but WLC is designed in a way which makes it difficult to extend to address these problems. So WL Roots is the answer to that. And what WL Roots is a project started maybe a year and a half ago led by the Sway team, excuse me, which aims to replace WLC. And it's been wildly successful. It's now the basis of 10 different Wayland compositors. And the key design decision is that it is unopinionated and modular. So all of the decisions that WLC made for Sway that became problems are not decisions that WL Roots makes for you. And so the drawback is that it's more difficult and more complicated to build a Wayland compositor on top of WL Roots, but you can build a much wider variety of Wayland compositors. And it also serves as a much stronger and more stable implementation of the features you need to be a Wayland compositor.
That's great. I mean, it's great that there's a solid base for people to, you know, you're all collaborating and or trying to build a solid base for people to kind of do their own thing on top of. But I mean, a question that was in the rundown that we had was about the fragmentation, which can be a bit of an issue. And it's a bit of an issue, I suppose, in free software and open source stuff in general. But I mean, it boils down to whether you believe in, you know, you should have one thing that everyone has to use or let people do whatever they want. But then you get the issues of, you know, different, as you said, there are so many different Wayland compositors implementations and so on. Is that a bit of an issue, the fragmentation? How do you bring people together to say, or do you want to bring people together to say, focus more on certain things?
That's actually a stated core goal of the WL Roots project. So I don't think it makes sense today to start a new Wayland compositor, which is not based on WL Roots, because I believe any variety of Wayland compositor can be built on top of WL Roots. It's not going to, the decision to use WL Roots is not going to change your end product. It's just going to save you time. That being said, there are existing Wayland compositors which are not using WL Roots, and I would not be surprised if more Wayland compositors are built which don't use WL Roots. So to get all of these different ones to cooperate is a core goal of WL Roots. And to that end, we've been designing Wayland protocol extensions which are not like X11 extensions, and that is kind of taboo, and you need to have you need to get buy-in. You still need to get buy-in, but it's not taboo on Wayland, because even something as basic as displaying application windows accomplished through extensions. So extensions are the bread and butter of Wayland. And our project has been writing extensions and working with the community to try and standardize them and adopt them throughout. And we've met with some success and some failures, and we're still working on it. But we have something like 5 or 6 protocols to get today. Excuse me. And several more that we're working on. So I believe that by doing that, we can address fragmentation.
Excellent. Well, that's really good. As I said, it's one of those things, isn't it, that people go on and complain about fragmentation. But actually, from what you've said about WL Roots, if you're trying to get people to do their own thing, by all means, but use some common, you know, grounding, some common foundation, that makes a lot more sense. Because if they go and start, it's a bit like, I suppose, I endlessly use analogies and metaphors, but it's a bit like you guys are building out the foundations of a building, and people, or a bit foundations of a place where people can go and build their little things on top of, and then some other people are coming along and trying to do their own thing and build completely different foundations or not use any at all, and you say to them, you know, come over here and do your thing on our foundations, please do what you want, but please don't go off and do something completely different, which is completely incompatible, I suppose. We've got a question from the IRC from Emily the Strange, who is a regular viewer and contributor, questioner, I suppose, inquisitor. That'd be a regular inquisitor. She's asking about graphics drivers, and she wants to know what. So let me actually read the question. Does this have any difference in its code for working with different graphics cards? Does that affect it having a NVIDIA drivers or Intel drivers, etc.? I've got a feeling that you can't use proprietary drivers at the moment. Is that right?
That's right. You can't use proprietary drivers. So, well, that's not entirely true. You could use proprietary drivers if they supported the appropriate APIs. But we don't support any proprietary drivers. We only support officially the open source drivers. But in theory, if a driver developer were to implement the standard kernel APIs, that being KMS, DRM, and GBM, if they implement these three kernel APIs, then you can use it with WL Roots. And today, that's the case for pretty much every major player except NVIDIA. And if you use the NVIDIA proprietary driver, you cannot use WL Roots. But you can use Nuvo, and you can use the AMD driver, AMD GPU, and you can use the Intel driver as well. And several other niche drivers also work, so long as they implement the same basic set of APIs.
Awesome. And I looked at, I know Nuvo you can use, obviously, which is an open source implementation of NVIDIA drivers. It's a, you know, re-implementation, I suppose, of NVIDIA drivers. And actually, I know it explains to me now why actually, when I looked at the list of desktop distributions that are using Wayland compositors and so on, Fedora was right up there, because Fedora were one of the first projects to actually incorporate on the desktop that I saw, anyway, the Nuvo drivers. But I actually thought that, I actually found they were really good. And I haven't, because I'm not a gamer, I'm not wanting to play games on it particularly or do anything more than, you know, my desktop stuff. Do you think the Nuvo drivers and similar ones are at a state where you could legitimately say most cards will work? Because the issue is, people are worried if they buy a new graphics card that it will work with Wayland.
Well, people who buy a new graphics card should not be buying NVIDIA, in my opinion. NVIDIA's driver is actively harmful to the Linux ecosystem, and I don't think you should reward that by spending hundreds of dollars on their graphics card. You can get AMD cards with competitive performance these days, which have fantastic drivers. I just met the AMD driver developers in Spain at XTC. They're great guys, and the driver they're working on is very good. And on top of that, I also met the Intel guys, and their drivers are less suitable for serious gaming, but also very high quality. But if you're not a gamer and you have an NVIDIA card, which is maybe 2 years older, 2 years or more old, then that card will probably work great with Nuvo. And if you get a little bit older, you have compatibility starting to approach perfect. And even for video games, the performance is pretty good on Nuvo. It's not competitive with other drivers or other graphics cards, but it's playable is how I would characterize it. But if you're buying a new card, please don't buy NVIDIA.
Yeah, excellent. I'll definitely have to look at that. I think the card I've got in here is an NVIDIA, but the machine I'm using at the moment. But to be fair, this machine's 8 years old. No, a bit less. So it's probably, if I was buying a new one, I would definitely take that on board. So I'm a bit conscious that that I can talk Linux and stuff all day, but we've kind of taken over the show, and Randall may have thoughts and questions and stuff. So Randall, are you still there? Are you still awake?
Yeah. Of course I'm still here. Okay. First off, I want to say that the last 20 minutes of discussion, I must have heard about 16 TLAs, and I had no idea what you guys were talking about. So I am definitely out of my league for this. Although I do want to address something, Drew, that you brought up at the beginning of the show, which is that your thought about Wayland and maybe Sway in particular is that it's for power users. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So Wayland, or not Wayland in particular. Wayland is for everybody, but Sway is for power users. So I like to think of Sway as kind of the Vim of Wayland compositors. So it's very keyboard driven. It's driven almost entirely by keyboard shortcuts. And you have to be willing to read and edit and hack on your config file in order to use Sway effectively. So I think anybody can learn Sway, but it's an investment. And most of the people who are willing to make that investment are power users who are always on the computer and who want to optimize their workflows.
And what are some of the things that you would be doing with keystrokes?
Well, remember earlier how I said that Sway is what's called the tiling window manager? How it does? Can you say you open up two windows, you'll get something like you open two windows. Forgive my crude drawing, but you'll see something like this where the your screen is split into two pieces. And so you can use your key bindings to control how that split happens. You can use it to split them into further subgroups to make a sort of deeper tree. You can also use it to resize windows and move windows around. You can use key bindings to toggle full screen on and off, or to close windows, or to open a new terminal. If you're using Sway, you never have to touch your mouse.
Ah, so probably this would be for me the equivalent of running GNU Emacs on my OS X, what is it now, Mac OS desktop. Because now I have a bunch of keystrokes that are in my fingers and I don't know what they are. All I know is I type this thing, and then the window splits sideways and the window splits up and down, and or open a new window on this new piece of code. So I have the equivalent of that. Now, there are also in GNU Emacs, there are also pull-down menus, though, that do about a third of the layout stuff that I can do with keystrokes. Are there also an equivalent for Sway?
No, but there is a sort of command line. So I mentioned earlier that Sway has an IPC protocol, which is compatible with the i3 IPC protocol.
Okay.
And you can use our command line tool to execute arbitrary Sway commands, the same Sway commands that you can bind to your keys. And so if you need to do any options or any window handling, which is beyond the scope of your key bindings, you can just run arbitrary commands. And you can also do something like configure a prompt so that you can run arbitrary commands without like opening a terminal or anything to have to talk to Sway with.
So it's probably a little closer than to, I'm just getting into VS Code now, and boy, VS Code is beautiful, and I can't believe it's open source from Microsoft, but that's okay. I'm stunned every year in this industry. I have no idea how this stuff comes along, because again, there are a bunch of keystrokes that will do things like open up a new file in a new window, open up a separate window. Actually, I don't think you can open separate windows, and I think always in one interface. There also is this thing called the sort of command line thing where on my configuration, I hit Option X, and I can start typing something, and it knows the most recent things I've done. But I can actually find any operation, even if it doesn't have a keystroke bound to it, using that. Is that sort of what you're talking about, or did I miss the point?
That's sort of like it. The only difference is that Sway doesn't come with batteries included. So if you want to build something like that, you can tie it together with a couple of scripts. But that's something you need to put together yourself.
Okay. And I think you said earlier, Sway is written in C++?
In C.
C. Real C. Cool. And I'm a little familiar, because back in the day when I was using X11, I was a little familiar with the fact that it seemed like it just got more and more things bolted on. And I'm sure if they got to redesign it from scratch, they would probably use a different wire protocol or a different combination of things for extensions or something like that. Does Wayland have a clean break? I mean, were they able to start over again and say, here's what we learned from having done 20 years of X11. Let's build for the future with Wayland. Is that fair?
I would say so, and in varying degrees. So there's a couple of places where there's legacy baggage, but Wayland was done from scratch. It did not inherit any Xcode. And I would say that the legacy baggage is like there's this one particular Wayland protocol that we're stuck with for a while, which is officially deprecated, and a couple of things like that. But Wayland was made by X11 developers with the lessons learned in tow. And so a lot of the mistakes that were made with X11 or a lot of the warts that grew out of it over time were they were explicitly aware of and worked to avoid.
How about all the cool stuff that was put in over the years to X11 servers, like really, really nice font management and layout for fonts, bidirectional fonts, things like that? I remember who my fellow Portlanders that did all that. But did that all come along for free, or did that have to be rethought again in building the Wayland stuff?
Well, X11 does have support for font-related features. But it's not very good. It's all with bitmapped fonts, and it's not ideal. And you typically don't see that in use today. Usually, even on X11, when you see text rendered, especially good-looking text or text that's right to left or in CJK languages, you see that typically rendered with software like Pango or HarfBuzz under the covers, which are independent libraries, and FreeType as well, which are independent libraries that exist without X's influence. And the same technologies are applicable to Wayland.
Okay. Keith Packard, that was the name I couldn't remember. He lives up in Portland, and I bump into him occasionally from there, unless he's moved. I don't know. I'm never in Portland anymore anyway. I don't really care. I live in Portland. According to the IRS, I definitely live in Portland because I'm there at least 1 week a month. And it's where I'm registered, and it's where my driver's license is from, all that sort of stuff. So I do have to go home from time to time. So now I've lost the question I was going to ask. Oh, so over the decades since X was first introduced, our network connections have gotten faster and faster. I know there's something called the low bandwidth X11 protocol and stuff. Does Wayland still have the kinds of stuff in it that will make it work over low bandwidth or high latency situations?
Not really, no. Wayland is just a protocol. It's a definition of how to prepare some bytes to transfer to over some kind of connection. And generally speaking, that connection is a Unix socket.
Mm-hmm.
And strictly speaking, you could do that over TCP as well. And some people have tried. But the main issue is that some Wayland resources, which are large, like frames full of pixels or keyboard layouts or other things like that, are not transferred over this protocol. They're transferred over a side channel. And typically that'll take place with the transfer of a file descriptor from the client to the server. And then the server will just read that directly. And so the file descriptor is not typically going to be portable over a network. However, there is some ongoing research into this. So there is some work ongoing to do things like making it so you could still use VNC or Spice to connect to a Wayland compositor. And there's also been some work in straight up making Wayland network transparent in the same way that X11 was. But those are subjects of open research.
Okay, and so it wouldn't make sense then for somebody to create the equivalent of the X11 dumb terminal for the Wayland protocol as of yet, right?
That's right. But I should also point out that through X-Wayland, X11 forwarding still works on Wayland. So if there are some people who have complained that they're not switching to Wayland because they need forwarding. But if everything that you use on X11 already supports forwarding, you can still forward it to X-Wayland and use it on Wayland. So it's not going to break your workflow.
Okay. Emily the Strange, once again, one of our frequent inquisitors, then she's renamed herself to that. Oh, no, somebody else said her name is different, asks, does all this work well with multiple displays?
I have four displays in front of me, and this one is a vertical display.
Okay, so it does work out okay.
Cool. It works very well on multiple displays.
I have only a laptop, and I travel forever. So I can't carry extra displays around with me. I never think of two displays at all.
The little voice in my ear reminded me to mention that not only do I have four displays in front of me, but this one is 4K and these ones aren't, which is not something you can easily do on Exorg.
Excellent. So I'm going to jump back in. Sorry, I just interrupted Randall there by not reading it, and then he was wondering what I was going to do, which was stop and then let you flounder. But now I'm back. I was interested. So, Drew, this sounds really, really good. It sounds really interesting, and I haven't used tiling window managers for quite a while. I've got to be honest, but I know i3 is really quite popular. So, being that you for Sway particularly, you're basically trying to, you know, recreate or extend or improve the stuff that people could do on i3. What's the kind of transference like of the adoption, if you like, for people who are into i3? Is Sway really popular with those kind of power users, if you like?
I would say so, yeah. Most people who are interested in Wayland and who use i3 can just switch in a couple of minutes because it's a drop-in replacement. So your workflow does not change at all if you used i3 before. If you had some things that were X11 specific, like for configuring your display layout or something, there are some things you have to change, but the process of switching to Sway is very easy. And so most people who are using i3 have no trouble switching to it. But there's also a large minority of users for whom Sway is their first tiling window manager as well.
That's really cool. And I read, so again, I'm showing a bit of ignorance here. I was reading about, I use Cinnamon Desktop, which is a slightly kind of modified or changed edition of GNOME 3 most of the time. So I'm not really even aware if I'm using any Wayland stuff. So GNOME 3, I know they've been trying to get in and use it. So GNOME 3 itself, am I right in thinking that GNOME 3 itself is supporting Wayland, but it's down to the distros to actually, you know, go whole hog on that? How does that work? Can you use different ones within GNOME?
Yeah, so GNOME supports both X11 and Wayland, and is one of the best implementations of Wayland available. KDE is also working on Wayland support, and it's getting pretty good. I would say that the main contenders today for usable, nearly, you know, feature complete kinds of Wayland desktops would be Sway, GNOME, and KDE in that order in terms of stability and breadth of features. And then everybody else is still working. A lot of desktops have only recently become interested in porting to Wayland. So we might be in for a bit of a wait if none of those suit your needs.
And it is the GNOME one based on WL roots. I would hope it is because it's a big desktop.
No, theirs is called Mutter, which is a carryover. But there has been some rumors. So one of the users of WL roots is the Purism team building the Librium 5. Have you heard of that project?
No, I don't think so.
It's you heard of the Purism folks in general? They make open hardware.
Yes, I am a little bit, but my knowledge is sketchy in that area. Enlighten us, yeah.
They're making a phone as well. They did a big crowdfunding campaign that was successful. And I just met Guido, one of the people who works on the phone, and somebody that I work with on WRVs. I met him at XTC in Spain a couple of weeks ago. But they're building... they're building a new Wayland compositor on top of WLroots based on our work with our WLroots reference compositor. And they're also using GNOME components as their sort of applications that you run with your phone. And one of their ambitions is to be the new Mutter. So Mutter being the compositor and X11 window manager that GNOME uses today, may in the future become based on WLroots if the Purism team is successful.
That would be excellent. And I was going to say, actually, on this kind of subject, how easy is it for someone to, if they've got a compositor or something in, you know, working with in the old system and so on, how easy is it for them to translate into using Wayland or SOWL Roots specifically? You know, are there parallels there? Is it going to take me a bit of time to work out how all, you know, is it sensibly kind of planned out that some of the stuff that was, you know, laid out in a certain way on the old system, I can kind of quickly look at the new one and go, well, that's that and that's this?
I would say that there's very little in common design-wise between X11 and Wayland. If you've made an X11 window manager, it is an ordeal or an endeavor to build a Wayland compositor that's like it. Most people start from scratch and then build the same features and so on that they had on their X11 software. But for Wayland this time around, it was much, much, much more difficult before WL Roots. But even after WL Roots, it's a big endeavor. But we have an IRC channel where we work with developers who are interested in using WL Roots, and we try to make it as easy as possible. But it takes a lot of work.
And I should point out, I have never done any kind of display server or any kind of programming. So I kind of like to play devil's advocate a bit sometimes. And I'm always prepared to be wrong, which is just as well, because I often am. So that's fine. So, yeah, good to know that. Thank you. I almost made a joke about enlightenment, but I don't know if Randall would get that. I was going to say, could you give us enlightenment? But anyway, some people will get that joke. Some people won't, if you're a Linux desktop user. So we do
have
a question.
I got the joke.
I know you did. I was just thinking for people at home. I'll explain that one for Randall later, who looks like he's not really. Actually, for anyone listening, I might as well just say Enlightenment's another desktop you could use on Linux. So like GNOME or KDE or any of those things, Enlightenment is another one, which was traditionally very heavy on 3D graphics promotion and raster graphics and stuff. Anyway,
let me get early adopter of Wayland.
Ah, well, there you go then. So let me get back to, there's a question from the IRC from Hadrian, I think, who must have left Hadrian's Wall to ask us a question. It says, are there any plans to implement remote display infrastructure into Wayland? Because that's the thing that people are complaining that they miss from X11.
I'm not entirely sure what that means, but I'm going to assume it means something like SPICE or VNC or RDP. And the answer is, it's possible. I don't know if anybody on Sway right now is interested in working on that. Sway is an entirely user-driven project. So if that's something that's important to them, I would encourage them to come and talk to us. And we would be happy to provide them the resources to start working on that. But I don't know that any of the people who are working it now are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking at your GitHub pages for Sway, and I see there's this person, Ryan Dwyer, who seems to have more commits than you do. So can you describe who he is and why he's involved?
Sure. So I am the maintainer of Sway. I wrote all the original code and a lot of the original code for WL Roots, but I am graced with a number of really talented and dedicated contributors. Some of them are like Ryan Dewar, Emerson, Ascent 12, several of whom I met at XTC recently. So Ryan is just, I guess, a good guy who likes to work on Sway a lot. He doesn't work so much on WL Roots, but he has contributed a whole lot of good code to Sway. Definitely would not be anywhere near releasing 1.0 without his help.
And I was just going to ask about that. How far along is the release process? Is this usable now? Are you still looking to have another release soon that'll finally be the real 1.0 coming up?
Well, I'm using it to talk to you right now. I'm using one of the I just built the code for master, but this is based on our alpha releases. So we are on a train which ends at 1.0 right now. And along the way, we're doing alpha releases. We're about to start doing beta releases, maybe within a couple of weeks. We just have one or two features that we have to implement, and they're small features, and then we have a handful of bugs I want to address, and then we're going to start doing beta releases. And after we do a few beta releases, we're going to do a couple of release candidates, and then Sway 1.0. So we're really close.
And is this a labor of love for you, or do you have a monetization strategy?
I accept donations, but I also work full-time on unrelated software. So it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay. And so it sounds like you're getting a lot of contributions that are not you, which is good. That always means a community has been built up there. What license is it under?
MIT.
Oh, Wow, that's real real flexible there. That's really cool. We're almost out of time, but is there anything we didn't ask that you want to make sure our audience is aware of before we have to let you go?
Well, if you were using Sway 0.15, or if you tried Sway a while ago and found it difficult or incomplete or buggy, I would encourage you to give the alpha releases a try. They are worlds better than the last stable release, because we'd have a chance in the meanwhile to basically rewrite Sway on a much better foundation. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if you give it a try.
Cool. And I mangled the pronunciation of your shortcut name. How can you pronounce that for me?
I pronounce it Circompone.
Circompone. Ah. Okay. Was missing some vowels towards the end there, and I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to put in there. All right. Circompone. All right. And do you have a meaning for that?
There's a meaning, but it's a worse story than you think. It's not very exciting.
Well, we won't make you reveal that, and that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Two final questions, since you're a coder. What's your favorite text editor?
Vim.
Okay, Vim. And when you have to script, what language do you script in?
Python.
Okay, well, lost on both of those. Oh, well, I can't get them all.
Or, just a shell script.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Neither of those were Perl or Emacs, so it's it was a little but I'm old school, though. I'm very old school, so that's really well. Hey, it's been great chatting with you, Drew, and talking to us about Sway, and I heard a whole lot of buzzwords that I haven't heard in a long time or ever, so that was good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go back and replay this show and see what it is I actually didn't understand, and maybe look up something, stop it and pause it and go Google for things to see what's actually going on. But thank you for coming on the show and talking to us about Sway.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Very good. Thanks, that was Drew DeVault talking to us about Sway and WL Roots and his general approach to philosophy of video cards and all sorts of wonderful things. So what do you think there, Dan?
I thought it was fascinating, actually. And I've got to point out, even though sometimes I sound like I'm criticizing, it's only because I'm really interested. And I think they're doing really good stuff, actually. And I suppose we've got to move towards the future, haven't we? I mean, we can all sit around and go, wasn't X11 great 30 years ago and whatever? Or it wouldn't have been X11, you know what I mean, Xorg, which I'm sure it was. And I'm a great fan of the past as well, and history and that. But graphics and stuff have moved on. Cards have moved on. Expectations have moved on. So it's good that they're doing that. And the other point I was going to make, Randall, is that I really enjoyed being able to know more about a subject than you, because I've not done that before. So you're welcome to my world, which is where you talk about stuff and I go, I have no idea what this is. So, yeah, it's nice to do a bit of role reversal for once. So, yeah, great project, and people should check it out. I'm actually going to try, for my part, I suppose, to put my money where my mouth is. I don't use a tile in Window Manager, really, but maybe I'll make Sway my first one.
Sounds like a great endorsement right there. So, yeah, and it's always perfectly okay for other people to know more than what I do. It just happens. I do sort of put my hands, my mitts into all sorts of different things over the years, especially since my career is coming up on 41 years now. Yeah, something like that. So my first professional code I wrote when I was 15, which is like 41 years ago. So that's a long time away, right? Long time away. Anyway, so we do have some great upcoming guests. We'll move on from this and talk about things that I also won't know anything about. Oh, I know mostly what the next one's about, Open Rhein-Ruhr, which is a German open source two-day conference in early November. So there's still time to make plans to go there if you want. And then for those of you that have been really, really hoping for us to do another blockchain show, we'd have Monero right after that. Cryptocurrency, but private, untraceable, and fungible. So that's another way to have something there. Tidelift gives maintainers and core teams to get paid for doing the work that they love. Tidelift provides the tools and audience necessary for them to deliver a professional software experience. And added since 2 weeks ago, Invoice Ninja, which is a powerful suite of online tools, invoice clients, collect payments, create proposals, expenses, time tasks, and more. Totally open source, totally committed to open source from top to bottom on that. You can pay them to host it, or you can just drop it in the cloud, like at a DigitalOcean droplet, since they're one of our sponsors. I should probably mention that. So it should just drop right in and use it there. I'm actually looking at using this with Stonehenge, because I need a solution for that, and this'll be pretty interesting. It is also, like I said, fully open source, but the reason they approached me is because I talk about Flutter here all the time, which is the new iOS Android development kit by Google to build a really high fidelity quality apps, which is getting me into mobile, which is amazing. So they have their own Flutter app, and they have the source code even for their Flutter app in the repo. So I was staring at how they were doing certain things, and I go, well, this is a full-scaled app, which is really cool. I love seeing that better than just the little dinky examples that I see sometimes. So this is really great to talk to us about Flutter, what their experiences with that has been, as well as talking to us just about their whole Invoice Ninja suite. So this would be really fun. Just added to the schedule, Kong. No, not the the big ape. It's an API gateway. That means it is a form of middleware between computing clients and your API-based applications. So Kong easily and consistently extends the features of your API. Some of the most popular features deployed through Kong include authentication, security, traffic control, serverless, analytics and monitoring, request response transformations, and logging. That actually sounds pretty cool. I actually think that might be something I can get ZipRecruiter to start looking at. Also just added to the schedule, something that maybe many of you already use. This will be one of those times when maybe you're using it and not aware of it, or maybe you want to download it after the show. It would be one of the two of those. OpenVPN. I can't believe I haven't done a show on OpenVPN all these years. So that'll be great. What?
Sorry. No, I went like that just when you said OpenVPN, because I use OpenVPN a lot. So can I please put an early request in to be co-host for that? I've actually got questions like, why doesn't this work? And why can't I get this to do this? And so on.
Well, I use OpenVPN all the time, too. So I actually have four or five servers, and I use it to connect to ZipRecruiter's VPN endpoint. And so it's they suggest using something else for the Mac, but OpenVPN just been great. So I have no problem with that. Just for the three people in the audience who don't know what OpenVPN is, it's a free and open source software application that implements virtual private network connections, techniques to create secure point-to-point or site-to-site communications in routed or bridge configurations and remote access facilities. It's really the granddaddy of a lot of them. And what's nice is it's all open source. You can either buy endpoints if you just want to send something to cloud. I've got a couple that I use like that. But you can also set up your own server and drop it in. And I think the DigitalOcean even has like an OpenVPN server as a full solution. I can't believe I haven't had it on Floss Weekly yet. But with all the requirements now or all the suggestions that you encrypt everything over the wire, you know, yes, you can do HTTPS on a lot of the websites now, but how do you encrypt the rest of the stuff that you're sending back and forth, the stuff that's not HTTPS? So yeah, OpenVPN, definitely looking forward to have that one. I think that's close to the end of the year too. So I think it's we're almost full on the schedule for this year. I'm going to have to open up my January schedule coming up soon so we can start putting more people in there. That's all I have to say about the upcoming guests for now. We're still looking at a few more that are in the short list. I've got mail conversations going back and forth all the time. You go to the homepage for this show, twitch.tv/floss, and you can see who we got on the upcoming list. If there's somebody not on that list that you want to get them on, provided they're not cryptocurrency. No, it's okay. Even if it's cryptocurrency, we'll still let those back on. We haven't had one in a while there, so that's good. You can have the project leader or the community coordinator email me, merlin@stonehenge.com. You don't have to remember that. That's actually on the homepage for the show, twitch.tv/floss. So I'm right there in the big letters. We have a live stream at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays at live.twitch.tv. We took a number of questions from there, many from Hadrian. I think it's Hadrian. I don't think it's Hadrian. It's Hadrian.
Oh, is it? Sorry. That's my fault then. Sorry. Okay. I made a Hadrian's Wall joke either. As well.
I'm just sounding it out like they taught me to do in grade school. So that's all. Anyway, and of course, Emily's strange. Number of questions there. A couple more, too. I think we took three or four questions from there. You can follow us now. I'm going to have to change this soon. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google Plus. That's going away. What do you know? That tweets over to @FlossWeekly on Twitter. When I get the new solution set up, whatever it's going to be, I'll still have the RSS feed that will go to Twitter. So if you just subscribe to us on Twitter, you'll at least get that. And actually, that hasn't worked for a while. So maybe Google Plus broke something. That's why I haven't seen it in a while. It says Hadrian, long I sound. Hadrian?
It is. Well, it's Hadrian, isn't it? Because like hydrogen, I would imagine. Because I looked up Hadrian's Wall, which is a big thing in the UK, and it's H-A-D is Hadrian's Wall. So
Okay. But the long I sound, I'm sure he doesn't mean in the second half of his name. It's not Hadrian.
I mean, Maybe we should have him on as a guest, and he can tell us like the way it's going. We could discuss it for a while.
An audio snippet of your name. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's wrap this up here. So you can follow me for now at Randall L. Schwartz on Google Plus, and I know Aaron's going to be disappointed too, because he always has the Google Plus for him too. So he's going to we all have to come up with solutions to replace this service that they didn't want to bother securing, and actually has been broken for a long time, and they just don't have anybody on maintenance of this thing. At Merlin on Twitter. So I'll have to work out again. I'll probably be using Medium as my central blogging platform. It has a lot of nice features, including RSS feeds with tags. Really, really cool. So I think I'm probably be doing Medium as my primary thing. It's beautiful too. It's a really beautiful thing. My plugs, 2 weeks from today, I will be in All Things Open in what's left of Raleigh. I should stop saying that. Actually, they got no damage. It's like nothing. But that's there. Maybe they got damage from this current storm, though. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be both press and speaker there. I'll cover that for Floss Weekly. I'll also be speaking about Flutter. I'll be doing a 40-minute intro to Flutter Talk. I'll be recording that as a screencast and putting it into my Randall Schwartz on Dart and Flutter YouTube channel, which I now can promote. So, because we've finally got up to 100 subscribers, so it's actually easier to find, which is nice. I'll be at Siegel, the Seattle GNU Linux conference in November as press only. And I'll be at KubeCon in December as press. That's a much longer conference, but they basically invited me to come up there. I think it's the Cloud Native Compute Foundation is one of their things there. And 2 weeks ago I said it's KubeCon, so it'd be like, you know, in KubeCon did the stately dome decree or whatever. Right. Anyway, not that. Anyway, got anything you want to plug, Dan?
Yeah, very quickly. I've actually got a few things. I've got a little list here because it's been busy lately. I won't take too long. So there's a couple of I've been doing a lot of podcasting, actually. So for people who listen to this, who were in the old Linux Outlaws fan base where we had Fab on recently on this show, actually, to talk about it, our new show that we're doing has been released. It's called Hollywood Outlaws, where we're talking about TV stuff, specifically detective show Bosch, if anyone's seen that, and lots of other things. And then if you're into comics and that sort of geeky stuff, and you want to hear some stuff about that, I do a show with my co-host Kaz. We do one called Tales of the Unattested. You can go to my website, danlynch.org, which is on the screen for anyone watching, to find links to these things. And finally, the one that's really most relevant to this show is I've inadvertently kind of started an open source project in the last 2 weeks, which has exploded and seems to have taken off very quickly. And I'm now going to Edinburgh on the 22nd to the 24th of October for the Open Source Summit, and then possibly the Linux Kernel Developer Summit if I can hang around for that. Again, as press and partly just to... I don't know, maybe I'm actually going to be presenting possibly at the Octo Linux stand in the exhibition space and some other stuff. So have a look at that. But I'm doing an open hardware, open software, free and open software, video streaming solution, end-to-end, multiple commodity hardware, all kinds of stuff going on. It's not really at a stage where I can actually, you know, try and shoehorn us on here as a guest yet. But, we're not quite that ready for that kind of attention. But when we are, we'll let you know. But it's called Make Space Live. And I do that with a couple of guys in Liverpool. We kind of started it all together, and I'm surprised at how quickly it's taken off. So, yeah, it's called Make Space Live. I won't give you the URL, but the enterprising people among you can probably figure that out or search for it. And, you'll find it. And there's a GitHub. Everything's on GitHub. We want people to contribute and get involved and test it and stuff. So have a look out for that in the very near future. And I'll say hello to Linus for you, because he's going to be there, Randall.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since about 6 months ago. I went to the Red Hat Summit in I think that was in L.A. and I saw him there, and we chatted a little bit. And I said, "We're going to play some more pool again." And he says, "Yeah, anytime. Just drop me an email, and we'll because I'm the one that's got the stupid schedule now because I'm hardly ever in town." So, you know, but it works out that way. Yeah, I do want to say I usually mention this, but I want to make sure I mention it clearly. If you see me at one of these conferences, please feel free to come up and say, "Hey, I'm a Floss Weekly listener." And I'll have a special prize for you, which will be me waving at you and saying thanks. That'll be your special prize.
I'll do that as well. Yeah. If you come up to Edinburgh, if anyone's in Edinburgh, please come along and do that.
Yep. Right. So if I'm at a conference, usually all I'm doing at a conference is trying to find the interesting talks to go to try to get more guests for this show. So I'm never really in a hurry or anything. So just if you see me wandering the halls, just say hi. That's a good thing to do. All right. Well, I think we've hit right at our mark or pretty close to it. So we'll go ahead. And Dan, thanks once again. Thanks for your incredible Linux desktop knowledge. I'm so happy.
No problem. No problem. Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, I was going to say, that was Dan Lynch. See, I go away for a couple of weeks and I forget how this show works. You don't say goodbye to the co-host. You just say thank you, Dan, and that's enough. And then here's what I say to the people actually watching. We'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.